The Bible reading today comes from Acts chapter 9, and I reckon it's going to be familiar to a lot of you. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men travelling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple called Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." Lord, Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your holy people in Jerusalem, and he's come here with the authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for in my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God.
We've heard the story of Saul. I wonder when you've had a significant change in direction in your life. When you've set out to do something in a certain way and it really didn't go to plan at all. Clearly, Saul is having one of those days. He had a clear purpose, a direction, a mission. He knew what he was doing. And he was even authorized by the high priest to do it. And then this. You know, sometimes I've charged off in a particular direction, expecting outcomes that I have in my head that I've planned. And then the unexpected comes along and it just changes everything. It could be someone dropping in for a coffee. It's a lovely coffee and the list of stuff to do is undone. Or we're unexpectedly invited out for tea. Or it could be something like, when I met Craig, I was planning on becoming a single missionary. Somehow, instead of walking down the aisle of a plane, I ended up walking down the aisle of a church. And the rest is history. And then when I became a candidate for Minister of the Word, we felt a call to rural ministry, to go where others can't always go due to schooling or a spouse's work commitments. And then lo and behold, Adelaide West is the Holy Spirit's idea of rural. Although we've often joked about that big paddock across the road. So Saul is on the road to Damascus with a purpose and a mission. He has plans to round up these troublesome people who belong to the way of Jesus. And then he's interrupted, seriously interrupted. A light from heaven flashed around him. He falls to the ground and he hears a voice, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Saul is blinded. Blind for 3 days and doesn't eat. Now, the hero of this story is Ananias. He hears God calling him to go to Saul. He hears the call of God and is naturally concerned, and yet, reassured by God, he takes the risk, responds and goes to Saul. And he greets him as Brother Saul, Ananias and Saul, once bitter enemies, now brothers. Ananias prays for him, and Saul is filled with the Holy Spirit, sees again. He's baptized, eats, and regains strength. And in response, he immediately preaches in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. In fact, this became Saul's regular practice, to preach at every opportunity in the synagogues. In this story, he has an encounter, a shocking encounter, with the risen Jesus. He realized that the God who had always promised to come and to rescue his people, had done so in person, in the person of Jesus. This is a remarkable turnabout. It's a complete turnaround. Saul is clearly transformed. Everything that he's been taught has been overturned. He was highly intelligent, superbly educated, supremely biblically literate. And now this. Somewhere in this, Saul is trying to process the words, "I am Jesus and you are persecuting me." Somehow the men and women that Saul was dragging off to prison were actually people of Jesus, his family, his own extended self. No wonder he couldn't eat for 3 days. Aside from the blindness, his body and mind would have been numb. We have a significant change in direction for Saul. We first come across Saul at the stoning of Stephen, where Luke the writer introduces him as a bystander, as a minor player, looking after the coats of those stoning a Christian to death. He was born into a devout Jewish family. He was the Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee and a Roman citizen. When he was young, he was sent to Jerusalem to receive his education with a noted rabbi or teacher. His Jewish name was Saul, and as a Roman citizen, he had a Latin name of Paul. It was typical for Jews at the time to have two names, one in Hebrew and the other in Latin or Greek. Saul later preferred his Roman name, Paul, typical of his missionary style, where he put people at ease by adopting a language and style that they could relate to. Saul was a proud and powerful man who was doing exactly what he thought was right. He thought he was acting for the glory of God by persecuting these followers of the way of Jesus. That surely couldn't have been the truth, couldn't be of God. The high priest himself had given Saul, this young hothead, authority to go and to raid the synagogues, to sniff out people who were following what the Pharisees believed was heresy. Saul was in the midst of actively persecuting God's people, a persecutor of the early church, when a light from heaven encircled him. The first thing that changed was his posture. He was tall and proud, and then he fell to the ground, a posture of humility and surrender. He was traveling to Damascus to round up people, and he ends up going into Damascus differently. He's blind. His posture's changed from tall and proud to fallen and blind. His heart's been changed from hate to love. His habits change, his pride change, his attitude changes from pride to humility. His words changed He started preaching that Jesus is the Son of God. He changed direction. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was converted. Conversion is the process of changing or causing something to change from one form to another, like the conversion of food into body tissues. Saul's conversion is a change from the following of his own life's course of persecution to a new course of following Jesus. Saul is converted for a calling. It wasn't about sanctified self-absorption, but it was for a task. Saul later became Paul, a church planter, a prolific writer to the churches at the time. And we're the beneficiary of that. We're grateful for that. He was baptized. You know, baptism is a sign of change. We understand it to be incorporating people into Christ's body. Baptism initiates people into Christ's life and mission in the world so that they're united in one fellowship of love and service and suffering and joy. We repent in baptism. We confess our sins and cleanse our hearts. And I love the symbolism of water washing our sins away. Baptism is a sign of our common discipleship. Now, we don't know how Saul saw baptism at the time, but our understanding now is based on biblical text and understanding, including Paul's. So clearly Saul's baptism is significant and a sign of new life. If you haven't been baptized and would like to be, do speak to me. Baptism is a beautiful gift to us and we're all invited to participate. Jesus appeared to Saul and he stopped him in his tracks. Saul realizes that Jesus is alive. This is the basis of his conversion, the realization that Jesus is alive, not dead. Saul was on that road to Damascus and he was breathing threats and murder against the disciples on behalf of official Israel. And then it finishes with his former religious cohort seeking his death. The persecutor becomes the persecuted, fulfilling the Lord's prophecy that Saul would suffer for the name of Jesus. Saul is changed due to his encounter with the living Jesus. So how are we changed when we're confronted by Jesus? Do we stop in our tracks and change direction? Do we have our own road to Damascus story, I wonder? You know, Saul's posture changed. I wonder, what is the posture of your heart today? Are you willing to bow down before the brilliance and greatness of our God? Do we choose to be humble or to hold on to our own pride and power? You know, it's easy to look at this story and to think of that as individuals. But what if we were to think of these questions for us as a church? As a church, do we stop in our tracks when we encounter Jesus amongst us? Are we prepared as a church to change our posture, our corporate heart, our words, our attitude, our direction? We exist to belong. All are welcome. All are invited. We exist to believe. Our faith is why we're alive, why we're in this place. And we exist to bless others. Adelaide West isn't a club. This building isn't a clubhouse. We are here and this building exists to bless others, to offer others hope, for others to be invited. You know, Saul was changed and transformed, and 2,000 years later, millions of people are still reading this narrative today. Be inspired by his change in direction. And think about, pray about how we change direction, how we stop in our tracks when we see Jesus. Individually, yes, but also as a gathered community, as the church. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, the story of Saul's conversion that still inspires us today. Father, Creator God, forgive us for our sin, for wanting to hold on to our own power and posture, for when we resist change. Thank you that these things and all our sins are forgiven through Jesus' death on the cross for us. Lord Jesus, come to us in our everyday lives. Speak to us as a church. Lead us in your will. Holy Spirit, help us to stop in our tracks when we encounter Jesus in our lives and in our midst. Help us to change our posture, our hearts, our words, our attitude and our direction, so that our community around us will know your love, your hope in their lives. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.